Welcome to the Messy Middle podcast that follows one mom's journey to build a profitable business while navigating the challenges of life. I'm your hostess, Anita Anello, and I'm here to share wisdom, insights, and stories that will empower you to make confident decisions, take actionable steps, and break through the mental barriers that hold you back. Welcome, everybody, to the Messy Middle. I'm your host, Anita Anello, and today I'm joined by Kirk Martin, and he and I were just chatting and talking about getting going here and getting to want to know each other. So Kirk, welcome. So I'm so glad to have you here with us. Thank you for being on the show today. And why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Anita, I'm super psyched to be here. So I'll give you the 1 minute version of our background. So I was raised by a career military father. So my way or the highway approach, yelling, screaming. So when I grow up, we get married, start having kids. I did the same thing. And then when you have a strong-willed child, you figure out that yelling and screaming doesn't work because they don't care about consequences and you can't intimidate them at all. And so I started changing myself. And the long story short is we invited like 1,500 kids, strong-willed kids, kids on the spectrum into our home so we could show them how to calm their own emotions. And we go through a little bit of that, how to control their impulses. But the main thing that we really learned is that we as the adults are the ones who need to lead our kids to calm and be able to control ourselves. And if you're a homeschool mom, that's really hard because you're with kids all day long. As a dad, I could go to work and be around adults all day and come home for like a 3 hour window. It was easier for me, but as a homeschool mom, it's really hard. So I hope I can give you some tools to de-escalate situations, maybe motivate the strong-willed child who doesn't want to do his or her schoolwork because that's an endless battle. And then also I'm super excited to learn about Anita's story and to maybe help encourage you as moms to kind of go in that new path and that entrepreneurial path. So anyway, I'm super excited to be here.
Awesome. Thank you, Kirk. So one of the things that we talk about regularly, so my audience knows that I'm a homeschooling mom. We've been at it we're in our 15th year of schooling. And while academics have always been super important for our household, they're one of the top drivers as to why we do what we do. But that's always secondary to character building. And so when you're as a homeschooling mom, and if you work or you're older, you own a business or you're still in the corporate space, whatever that looks like, I found that the harder work all day long was really genuinely the character building because you're doing that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Your kids aren't going somewhere else. Nobody's coming along, not as much. They're not coming alongside you and taking care of some of that with you along the way. And so we found that to be both sanctifying and encouraging and really part of the journey, the homeschooling journey. And I would say for me, it's actually taught me a lot of things about being in business and kind of tempering the intensity of just life and challenges. And it always helped me put a lot of things in perspective. As a matter of fact, when I was working full time, my husband would always say, I can set my clock by what month you are in the homeschooling year by the way that you're acting and reacting. And so I would always have these in February, every single homeschooling year, I would have what I would call a baby meltdown. And I'd be like, this is crazy. I'm not doing this anymore. And then when I retired from tech space and came home full time to school, it got a little bit even more intense. I was like, everybody's going back to private school. I'm done. And then I would settle down and eventually my husband's, honey, why don't you just take a week off in the middle of February and take a break and go have fun with the kids? And I was like, that's genius. Oh my gosh. But let's talk about that a little bit, Kirk. One of the things that you mentioned on the intro and before we started recording was talking to moms that are in this space of, because I've talked to at least multiple hundreds, maybe thousands of women over the 15 years that have said to me, Anita, I always wish I could homeschool my kids. Now that comes out in other languages. Maybe you don't want to homeschool and that's totally fine. But what I always hear is a version of a lot of moms, not everybody, but a lot of moms will give me a version of, I just want to intentionally spend some more time with my kids and raise them myself. And so let's talk about that a little bit. And then those moms that are maybe afraid to make the jump from where they are, either in the corporate space over to the entrepreneurial, or maybe they've been home for a long season and they want to go back into the workforce. Let's talk about that a little bit first.
It was more about teaching life skills than it was, and not even just, it's a different word than character formation, but teaching our son, okay, here's how you deal with adversity. Mm-hmm. Here's how you deal with disappointment, frustration. Yeah. It's a given in life. And here's how, and then all those little life skills, our son's 30 now, so I'm on the back end of this and watching him kind of out in the real world. We would not have spent any time on those worksheets, like fighting over them if we had gone to go back, right? It's not like, if you don't do this, you're not showing discipline and you're going to be a failure in life, right? And then know how hard, it's really intense, because one of the harder things with it for a homeschool parent or mom is, look, when I was in the corporate world, I had key things that I could measure, right? I got the project done. My boss said, good job. I got a raise. If you're a homeschooling mom, you are literally never done. You've never done enough, and you haven't done a good enough job. And so I always tell dads, I'm like, when you come home from work, if your wife stays home with the kids, never ask, hey, how was your homeschooling day today? Because then your wife has to lie to you and say, oh, we did all these things, and half the days, your right answer is, I didn't murder your children today, right? And then husband gives you a fist bump. He's like, you're a good mom. It's just such a hard thing, but I would encourage all the moms and dads who do this of enjoy your kids, right? Because you get that mission of like, we have all this to get through. You're never going to get through it all. And especially if you have a child on the spectrum or a strong-willed child, they're just going to resist all the time. And we can go through some things to help with break down that resistance. But man, take it easier on yourself. Reset expectations of yourself and what you're going to accomplish. And then we talked beforehand. One of my favorite things for homeschool moms is to say, hey, everything's not about you. Like, I stayed home for you, but everything doesn't revolve around you. So two times during the day, every day at 10:52, it doesn't have to be that time. I like interesting time limits tend to stick in the brain. Every morning at 10:52, I get 7 minutes of alone time. I'm going to sit on the sofa because I have not sat down since it. And I'm going to read. I'm going to read scripture. I'm going to sing songs. You guys, during that time, you don't ask me anything. Anyways, I get that 7 minutes. And then again at 1:53 or 1:32, and establish that as a tradition that your time is as important as kids' time. Otherwise, your kids will not respect you or your time. Anita, we're big into this. I can't demand respect of another, but I can always demonstrate self-respect. And I show self-respect by taking time for myself and making my needs important, right? And not in a, look, there are no homeschooling parents that are going to be selfish, right? You're all selfless people by nature. If you were selfish, you go to work instead. And so I'm not saying people who work are, you know what I mean? And so it is this thing of, I care about myself enough to take care of myself emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And when I do that, now when my kids are squabbling and fighting and resisting me, I can respond with patience and I can teach them how to calm down. But if I'm frazzled and everything is about the kids and I do everything for everybody else, then you just get resentful, right? After all I do for you, if you can't do this, we're going to go back to public school. I'm just going to drop you off tomorrow because they'll take any. So to your point, what you're doing, I think, is beautiful in its saying of, God has given me gifts and passions and talents to use, and I'm going to use them in a healthy, balanced way. And so I love your mission and what you're doing. I think it's really healthy.
Thanks. So let's transition the conversation a little bit. So we talked about those that are maybe either interested in homeschooling or actively homeschooling. What about the corporate moms? These corporate moms of faith that maybe have a heart's desire to be at home more with their kids, but they're not there yet. Like, let's talk about encouraging them. And in the midst, I know when I was working full time, so I had come from the tech space, executive level kind of career. For me personally, we would jokingly say in our household that if I worked 40 hours a week, that was like a part-time job that week. In those days, this is pre-COVID, like I clocked a lot of hours, not because it was just for all the stupid reasons I did. Let me just put it that way. So a 60 to 80 hour work week was not uncommon for me. So coming off giving that much of myself away to somebody else and then being expected to come home and be the loving, caring, intentional wife or mother or just friend or anything. And that was hard. So I heard you talk about self-care and I love that. But what would be some other tools and practical tips that we can give those successful corporate women of faith to say, I'm not there yet. I'm not homeschooling yet. I haven't built my business yet. Let's start with that group first, and then we'll transition over to the entrepreneurs to say, how can we equip them better to walk in and out of those situations? Because what I've experienced is a lot of those moms, their hearts are breaking to be at home right. with their kids, or at least spend a little bit more intentional time with their kids and their husbands. And no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. But when they're in that spot, it's, I just want to spend a little bit more than an hour or 30 minutes before bedtime with my kids. How can I not have it be a battle of the wills and an argument about bedtime or something like that? How can we equip the ladies that are like in that lane right now?
I think it would be, and probably the same I would say to dads, right? Who are in the same situation. And that was for me at first before I kind of stayed home for a little while and did the homeschooling thing myself while I was building this business. And then I realized how much I missed the corporate world because it's really hard. I would say the focus is on connection. As a parent, we get so hyper-focused on behavior, right? I need to make sure that my child behaves, that they eat the right thing, they go to bed at the right time. And all those things are important, but they're not the most important thing. And I think if you come home, one, wash off the day somehow while you're driving home, whether it's some kind of music that you listen to, something so when you walk in the home, you still have like meetings on your mind and something a colleague said, and you always have projects at work that didn't get to compartmentalize that. Like I would come home and take a quick shower. It's like washing off the day. And then I'd put my phone aside. And that's a big deal. I would put my phone aside. Connection and intensity. It is kids respond really well to intensity. That's why they tend to argue with you. It's why they tend to pick fights with you, is because they don't want to be in trouble. They know that if I mouth off or I don't listen, then the parent, watch what our voice does. Hey, Jacob, listen, I'm not going to tell you again. And all the child's brain registers is, my dad is yelling at me. I'm just going to use me. My dad's yelling at me, and that means I'm important. It's a really interesting thing, especially if you have, and many homeschooling parents have adopted kids or foster care. And so this is really interesting. They associate intensity with connection, but what they don't distinguish between is positive intensity or negativity. They're looking for a connection, and all they learned, especially if they were adopted, especially a lot of kids adopted, if I do something wrong, well, now everybody puts down their stuff and I'm staring at you. Listen to me. And all it registers inside that child's heart is, I'm important enough for someone to me. Because far worse than that is apathy. Apathy is worse than hatred. At least, like if I'm in a marriage and we're fighting, well, at least I care enough about you to feel. Right? Like, at least like I care. But when you get apathy, like I don't even care. So I try to intentionally give a lot of positive intensity to kids of like, that was a really good choice. Man, I love how. So moms who work environment, you only have a certain amount of time. And if you can kind of get yourself up for it and remember to give some intensity, man, what was that that you're working on? Man, show me that Lego project. And look, you're going to have to fake it. And I don't want you to feel guilty because the things that your kids do aren't really interesting, right? Mommy, let me show you this. And you're like, great. Right? Because work's interesting to me, other life things, but my child building something, I don't mean to sound jerky, but it's reality. I'm like, wait, how did you think to do it that way? Why did you build that little castle that way? Why did you color that? And when I give intensity by asking questions and by being curious during that time, more so than, hey, you need to pick up all your stuff, you need to get ready for bed. I promise you, if you give that intensity and connection, the other stuff happens more easily than if you come into the room barking and getting kids to try to behave. Connection is always breeds a lot more compliance.
Yeah. So good. I love that. One of the things that we had talked about, another thing we talked about on the intro was helping. Okay, let's put this in context this way. You have somebody who has what I call a God-sized idea inside of them. They're successful in a corporate space and they want to be able to start an online business or knowledge-based business on that. And that sometimes creates more anxiety in our partners. It creates more unsteadiness, maybe in the home environment with your kids or with your spouse or whatever that looks like. And let's talk about how can we equip people to de-escalate the situations when maybe finances are a little bit like we're talking about, people are talking about, maybe we're either in a recession right now or heading towards a recession. Who knows one way or the other, but there, what I do know is the world's getting a little bit more intense every day, right? We have a lot of situations that are going on that are making people, more and more people, more and more conservative people, a little bit more uneasy each and every day. So how can we equip men and women to de-escalate so that we can communicate better as spouses? Because I know in our household, when my husband and I are getting along better, we're respecting one another, we're loving each other, we're meeting each other where we're at, and we are just saying, I see the way that God has made you and I'm going to champion that instead of I see the way that God has you and you bug the crap out of me. That's a very different way to approach. And I know when my husband and I, when we're both like on the DISC profile, we both have that D personality. So driven, outgoing, intense, passionate about the things that we're really passionate about. So we can have heated fellowship around the kids. And that's like what we call it in our household. Heated fellowship is the Anello phrase that we use. But in that, sometimes what we've had to learn how to do is how do we communicate in those ways that actually we as adults are totally okay with in our personality styles. But it's taken, we had to teach our kids that it's okay that mom and dad, we're passionate about these things. And see, we still love each other. We're still committed to one another. And so it's also given our kids frameworks going through just lots of ups and downs in life on, oh, this is what it means to have conflict and then resolve the conflict. So I guess maybe that's the underlying question really is when we have conflict in our marriages because of these difficult situations, how do we, in your terms, you use de-escalating, but how do we bring it down so that we help our kids see this is what it looks like in healthy marriages for mom and dad to go through the ups and the downs? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Good. I mean, that would be honestly more important than anything you teach your kids at home, right? Like just how to handle conflict, because none of us really learned well. Like I grew up in a home where my dad was fairly, in my mind, conflict is bad. My wife grew up in a home where it was, well, you just give in and do everything so you don't get yelled at. And then she was abandoned. So here's the awesome dynamic that we brought into our marriage. My wife has a fear of abandonment. So difficult things come up in marriage. She comes to talk to me about it. I sense conflict. What do? Conflict is bad. I withdraw. Well, then that triggers her abandonment and she comes after me harder. I'm like, chill, woman. Like, that's like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, I'd kind of like to talk. And I'm a guy, right? So I'm like, why do we have to talk? So these are just these skills. So I'd encourage you with a few things and then maybe we can talk about, let's do this and then maybe talk about calming your kids down, right? So one thing would be sit down. It's such a small thing, but like when you're standing in the kitchen, I can tell Anita, like you, I don't know what your husband's like, but you're an intense, like, and that's the way God's gifted you because to get all this done and do a podcast, you've got to be intense and driven. Well, when you're standing, you tend to get different body posture. Right? It's easier to put your hands on your hips. It's easy to fold your arms. When you're sitting, it provokes more of a conversation instead of a defensive response. So one thing my wife and I learned how to do was we literally just sit because things are different. Look, this is where the faith part really helps out in that. And this is what I try to teach guys is, you know, we're supposed to be selfless, right? And that's how Jesus modeled it for us. We're always wanting to prove our point. So, you know, in those discussions, when you're talking to your husband and he's talking, you're already formulating your response, right? Because you're not really listening to him. And we all do that. So that skill alone of asking and being curious mm-hmm. first, right? My wife's name is Anita, so this is easier, but it's to say, okay, and I don't like all the therapy stuff. If I hear what you're saying, I just don't like that personally because it sounds too fake. I know you're supposed to mirror back helpful. I just don't like it. So what I tend to do is just ask a lot of questions because I think the place where we get messed up is we assume we know the other person's motives and we usually don't. Well, you don't want to be a mom anymore. You just want to go back and do your thing. You just want your own thing. What about me? And it's like, it had nothing to that. So asking lots of questions and being curious of saying like, honey, honey. So what I'm hearing is this. Why? What is behind? Stop. It's a couple questions to get more. I thought you were saying X. The other big skill, I think, is learning, and this is relationships in general. It is not my job to fix my spouse's emotions. It is not my job to correct their thinking. I can model it. I can provide it. Look, I'm still learning this at 58. If my wife is in a certain mood, I immediately want to fix it. Well, honey, what's the matter? What's the matter? Am I really concerned about how my wife is feeling? No. The truth is your emotions make me really uncomfortable. So I want to fix it so you will stop having those emotions. That's a lot of guys. That's what we do. So getting that through your head of like, my job is not to control my spouse's emotions. And I remember learning this saying, honey, listen, it sounds like you're frustrated. Look, if you want to have a bad day, if you just want to be upset all day, you have the right to do that. Look, if you want to come talk to me, I'm glad to listen, preferably at halftime, but I'm glad, I'm kidding, but I'm glad to listen. But when I relinquish, when I give myself space to know that I don't have to fix her moods, that I'm only responsible for my own, that is a huge win in your marriage. And it plays out with your kids big time. So I don't know if that helps, but I'd say those things of the sit down, ask a lot of questions before you speak. And honestly, just don't put what I've learned is if I'm quieter and I ask questions, the answers tend to come. And if I feel myself trying to prove my point, that's when we usually get into.
Yeah. In our household, we will say things like, and I know a lot of women that fall into this, like, I'll tell my husband, you don't need to solve my problem. I'm an intelligent woman. I can figure out things all on my own. The only reason we're talking is so that I can process some information out loud and then I can make a better decision. And we've come a long way in our marriage and being able to figure some of those things out ourselves. The other thing that we say an awful lot is because a lot of what I'm hearing you talk about, Kirk, has to do with an offense. And scripture talks about offense and how we are to navigate offenses. Like I might say, this is what I say all the time. I might say something that is offensive and I might do it intentionally or unintentionally. Most of the time it's unintentionally. But the thing is, if you get offended, then that's your job to fix that for yourself. It's not my job to fix your offense. What it is, I got to take responsibility for myself. If I'm walking around offended that my husband or my kids or a client or anybody said something offensive to me, if I receive it that way, then it's all my job. It's all my responsibility to decide if I want to be offended or not. And then also to fix that if I'm, and so we talk about that a lot in our household, and that has helped tremendously to bring down the tension level. And then again, as you started to allude to, as we are getting better at communicating these things, and sometimes the longer you're married, the harder it is. Sometimes the longer you're married, the easier it is, because it just depends on your perspective and how you adjust for that. And then if you have, like in our household, we had a medical crisis that's happened a couple of times. And honestly, for us, it was challenging and hard and awful all at the same time, but it also helped to reset our perspective for one another and what's really important. Because when you end up in the ER and close to the end, you all of a sudden you just can see things very differently. And so that's while the situation has not been amazing, it's also actually we've used it to be able to bring God glory in what he's doing in our marriage and then in our household. And it's all, we've also used it to be able to like reset for one another and say, okay, we really know what's important these days. It's helped us to reset our priorities. Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I'd say one thing, Anita, that as spouses, if we can look at our spouse and our kids as tools of our transformation, right? Because the purpose of relationships is not happiness. Yeah. If you've been married a long time, you know that.
Yeah.
Not really.
No, but it doesn't really even say that in scripture. So if we go based on, that's not the point.
Yeah. The outgrowth of our relationship with Christ is we become more like him. We change. And so, and I'm not talking about an abusive spouse, but an annoying spouse, right? Which is we're all annoying people. I can tell you're annoying because you're so driven. I'm annoying. I'm a really annoying person to live. Everybody on our podcast is like, it must be so nice. You're so calm. I was like, you don't live with me. I'm an intense being. Now I'm older, so I've chilled a little bit. But if I can look at my kids, my wife, if I can look at other people as tools of my transformation, because other people are just mirroring my own flaws. And if I can give you parents some old guy wisdom, it is even your people, like if you're political and those political opponents, people on the, I promise you, if instead of like hating them, which unfortunately we do as Christians, which, right? We say we love everybody, but we don't, right? We're like, we hate them. But if you can get to know people on the other side or different people who differ from you religiously any other way, I always seek to learn something from them. One thing, I seek to learn one thing from someone I disagree with. And I find if someone really irritates me, right? And so when I was younger, it was like, oh, those people, it was the they're. And now as I get older, I realize, man, I'm the common denominator in every single issue I have. It's me. And if I can humble myself and say, I don't understand where my wife is from or my child or this person on the, who's voting for the person I don't like, instead of just assuming their motives, it is a very liberating and freeing thing as you get older to actually to use that in order to change yourself. It's super cool. Then you can thank your husband and say, thank you for being so difficult. I'm glad that I married a guy on the spectrum who isn't able to connect emotionally. It gives me a chance to be patient with you. Because a lot of you did that because when you were dating, your spouse was able to, the thrill of the hunt got him to do things. And then once he got you and you got into marriage, especially if he's an engineer, and Anita, you worked with all these guys at tech. Like they're clueless how to connect with other humans, but they did it for like 3 months just to win you over. And so, but if you can, again, not with abuse, but if you can say, okay, what is this situation teaching me about my, and what can I change? Man, that is so liberating when you stop trying to control your kids and other, like with your kids, especially those of you with strong will kids, they're going to dawdle. Like Anita, if I was your child, I would go slowly at something on purpose just to, because I know what your tone, honey, that's good. We need to get moving. We need to get it right. And your tone gets kind of sharp because you've got a lot of stuff to do. And I would do that to provoke you on purpose, right? And if I was a smart kid, I'd say, Mom, I just know that that's one of your weaknesses. So you can thank me for triggering you so that you can work on your trigger.
You are contentious, aren't you?
Hold on. Is that not all truth, though? Is that not all true?
A lot of it, yeah.
All those things are very true. Like with the I mean, look, kid's point of view. I'm a strong-willed kid, probably an ADD kind of kid, which is future in our world. My brain needs to be stimulated. I'm bored sitting around the house. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to poke. Why? Because she's going to react. Kirk, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Then Mom's going to come in the room. Kirk, leave your sister alone. How many times have we told you don't pick on your sister? And then Dad's going to come in. Dad's not upset at the kid. He's upset because the kid upset his wife. Right? Because we barely know what to do with you when everything's okay. When you're upset, it freaks us out. So Dad starts yelling. So watch one child by almost poking his sister, not touching her, just almost.
Almost touching.
Got three people in the home to be upset. why would I not do that? If you guys are going to feed me with that kind of intensity, I'm going to do that all day.
Because it's still attention, even if it's negative attention. And when you're little, you don't know. Like my oldest was that way. Definitely. He would get a lot of attention that was mostly negative, but he was still getting attention all the time. And it was like, honey, do you not understand that you're the one causing all this?
Well, then we get to teach. That was our son, Casey. He was, because he got that from his mother. Now he got that from me. And so after I stopped reacting and saying and praying to God, like, could you please change our son, right? Like, why did you give us this kid? And God kept whispering in my ear, like, I think you're the one who needs to change. And I was like, no, I don't. Because men are all about denial. I don't have anger issues. But clearly you don't. So when I began to change, then I could look at Casey at times and say, hey, listen, the last 43 times you use that tone with me, what it told me was you're anxious, you're frustrated, or you're hungry, because those are his triggers. So, or you're just bored. So two options. You may continue to keep talking to me like that, but you're just going to lose all your stuff. Or if you want to grab some chips, I'll grab some salsa. I'll meet you out on the deck and I'll help you with whatever you're struggling with. So part of the thing with kids is instead of reacting to them, instead I can respond and say, I know what's going on here. You are poking your sister because you're bored. Here's what else I know about you. You have a really big heart, never toward me, but toward other people. Strong-willed kids are terrible for their parents and great for other adults. You've got a big heart and you love money. You're a born entrepreneur. So in order to get that brain stimulation for the rest of your childhood, you may pick on your sister. All that's going to happen is you will always be in trouble. You will always lose your stuff. Or I'm going to go to the kitchen, get started on dinner. If you want to come help me, I bet we could brainstorm three different ways. You could start a little business in a neighborhood and use that brain of yours to start making money. Because now I'm problem solving. Now, instead of stop being a little jerk and go to your room, which teaches kids, now pulling that child close to me and saying, I know what's going on. I understand human nature. So let me show you a different way. And then when I put it in their court, kids tend to make pretty good decisions when you give them some options and you give them some space to do it. Not always, but they usually make pretty good decisions.
Oh, so I love that.
I love doing that with the strong-willed kids.
I love that. And you have so articulated the entrepreneur's journey, right? I feel like as we all get older and society kind of marches on, we start to recognize, oh, these tendencies that, like, my husband's a little bit older than me. And so in his generation and my generation, where his parents or my parents would say, you're the problem. Instead of doing that, recognizing, like, no, you actually just have some tendencies that are going to be great for you later in life. How do we cultivate those? And how do we lean into the way that actually God really made you to be a free thinker and a problem solver and not inside the boundaries of life? What do we say in our household is you can get to your goal in dozens of different ways now, where, like, in my household, we were taught as a kid, I remember there was only one path to success. There was only one. My parents would talk about all the time. And it was this linear path that said, you go to school, high school, SATs, 4-year college. That's it. That's the only way to be successful. And they had all the reasons that they did that. And yet what we've noticed as we've been raising our kids is there's lots of ways to go after the things that you want in life and not just one linear fashion. You can always look at things a little bit differently. So that's a lot of what I'm taking out of what you're saying is that, and I hope other people that are listening are hearing the same things, is Kirk's not only giving you tools to be able to have healthier marriage, bring de-escalate kind of conflict situations, and then be able to help your kids grow a little bit better and be a better parent, but he's also helping you identify those skill sets that either are laying dormant in yourself or in your kids to be able to transition into maybe something too new in your career. Maybe it's time to consider something else. So that's so powerful, Kirk. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Can I share something along those lines? It's really important. So good. So what you just said in our language is give kids ownership of choices. Hey, here's what I want done. I don't care how you do it, right? Like when we have kids who go to public school, it's like, look, here's your goal in the morning. be on the school bus at 7:21 a.m. How you do it, I don't care. If you're smart enough to wear the clothes to bed that you're going to wear the next day to school, go for it. You can wake up at 7:19, roll out of bed, grab the top Pop-Tart you hid under your bed, run out to the school bus. You don't even have to eat breakfast. You could eat a Pop-Tart while you're running. You could leave your shoes on the bus. I don't care. Just be on the bus at 7:21. And so what ownership does is it takes away my control freak nature, right? There's one way to get up in the morning and you have to get up. It's, I don't care how you do it. And I give ownership to the child within my, what you find with strong will kids is they love that because now they get to explore different ways of doing it. It will just irritate you as the parent because you have control issues and you're anxious about how they do it. And what I learned, especially from our son and all those kids we worked with, is when I stepped back, it gave them opportunity to, I step back from micromanaging, which is what lecturing is. It gave these more entrepreneurial, strong-willed kids an opportunity to step up and do things in different ways. And the one thing more than anything I'm finding, if I had to go back and do raise kids again, and I'll do this with my grandkids, is protecting the internal dialogue. I can give you an example. This was just happening, a phone consultation 2 days ago. Kids in regular school, it's Christian school, who sometimes are awful at understanding kids. I'm like, Christian schools, come on. You're supposed to understand. Your job is children. And you show an inability to even understand what children are supposed to mess up. But here's the example. There's a kid in class, and instead of doing his assignment in 20 minutes, it's taking him 40 minutes. Well, the teacher's getting all hung up on it, like he's working too slowly. So watch the internal dialogue that starts to happen in this seven-year-old kid. I'm slow. I'm slow, so that means I'm not as smart as other people. It means I'm less than. They're better than me. There's something with me. Well, as you know, Anita, those things, those thought patterns and limiting beliefs begin from a really early age, right? 4 years old, you didn't get dressed the right way. And the strong-willed child, look, they're never going to do things the right way. They're going to do it their way, right? I just did a podcast on this little girl that wants to tie her karate belt. She doesn't know how to do it. And as soon as the parents come in, oh, honey, let me show you how to do it. No, you're stupid. I hate you. And then we look at this child and we say, she's rebellious and defiant. And it's like, no, she just wants to figure it out herself. Yeah. And she's a stove toucher. She wants to touch the hot stove. And that's what an entrepreneur is the classic stove toucher. You have to fail. Because you only learn how to fall by falling. You learn how to get up. And so that internal dialogue. But what if the teachers and parents told the child this? You know why I love your brain? Because you daydream. That's called imagination and creativity. You know why it takes you longer? Because you're a deeper. When you consider the different solutions, all the other kids in class are just regurgitating what they think I want. But you consider three or four different options. So it takes you longer. You're a problem solver. One day in the real world, a company is going to pay you a lot of money because you're a good thinker. So it's the same kid, the same teacher, the same parents, but how you think about that child and how you begin to program their brain. So he starts walking around thinking, yeah, I'm a deep thinker. I'm going to do this. That'll change the trajectory of his life. So right from, and I'll be quiet after this, but the pivot is from spending all of your energy trying to change kids, spend more of that time cultivating their natural gifts, talents, and passions. Because otherwise it's just constant. You're bad. You're in trouble. And the strong-willed child will literally be in trouble all day long. Will end up picking on his siblings because now you have Cain and Abel versus, hey, you know what? I don't know. The kid who lays off the sofa upside down. Why do you have to lay off the sofa upside down? Instead, go lay off the sofa upside down next to your child, hand him or her some homework and say, bet you can't do your math homework upside down. And watch them do it and say, you know what? You're so creative. I love the way you do things differently. Now, do you really love that? No, they're irritating. I just want you to do what I told you to do the way I told you to do it. But if you have a strong-willed child, if you can step back and give them, Anita, you know this because you're probably that child, they'll do amazing things. Yeah. Because you try to control them, they'll literally fight you all day long and take any consequence you want to give them because they literally don't care.
Yeah. I was not growing up, but I just because there was other abusive dynamics in our households, and I'm the youngest. So I learned how to be quiet and fly under the radar for most of my but I will say this, that as an adult, being able to come into my own and be in environments that are healthy and enriching and with Jesus in the picture, that has totally changed the person I was growing up because of an abusive household versus now being able to step in my own and really genuinely be cheerleaded by people around me because they're like, that's amazing that the way that you can see image, the way that the Holy Spirit gives you a solution to a problem that I never even saw, but it was never, it wasn't ever championed in our household at all. I was the quiet youngest just to stay out of the radar when you have just to expand on that a little bit, when you're raised in an abusive household, it's a completely different ball game than what anybody can expect. Right. And so
have you done podcasts and shared how you went from being quiet to fun? Because you come across as a very confident. You've got a very strong voice, right? That's a hard transition for a lot of women to make. So I want to send a lot of our people to you because that's a very common thing in religious homes. Yeah. Either home, I was never heard. And so I went. So now I grew up and I basically married my dad, right? I married someone. It was kind of like this, and then I don't have a voice, and then they suffer in silence for a long time. So then to make that transition like you have to then start your own business when you've never felt like your voice was important, like that's a huge thing for a lot of the moms that we work with is getting that voice and speaking up. So I appreciate your example in that. It's a hard thing.
That's a good idea. Maybe that'll be my next podcast. I'll record it.
I will send you. Anita, we all have those things from our childhood, and women, especially in the church, have been silenced a lot. Well, you just listen to your husband; you just need to be, he's the. And it's like nobody speaks to the men and says, "Like you have the heart." Like my job, lay down my life for my wife, the way Christ did for the church. But we just tell women to do their part, and I'm like, "Dudes, you have the harder part." So anyway, I'm super proud of you. That's super hard work.
Thanks.
So.
That's awesome. I think I might just record that this afternoon. That's a good idea.
Yes.
Awesome. Kirk, how can people from my listening pool, how can they connect with you more?
Best thing is just to look up the Calm Parenting podcast and we're at Celebrate Calm, which is a dumb name. Sorry. It used to be Celebrate ADHD. Anita was Celebrate ADHD because everybody was so negative in the day about it. And I was like, no, these are your future entrepreneurs. Like, I'd rather have ADHD than be a boring rule follower, right? Like, in our world, the joke is you better be nice to the kids, the strong-will kids, because one day your compliant kids are going to be your boss for that. Compliant kids don't know how to speak up, so you don't even have to pay them a lot of money. And then you get these visionary kids come along, be like, I need a rule follower. You used to pick on me, and now I drive a Lamborghini because I took a risk and I started a business. And so, anyway, celebratecalm.com or the Calm Parenting Podcast. If you email us, tell me, if you don't mind, that you heard us on Anita's podcast, because then it makes it, you know, kind of personal. And we're very responsive to people's emails. Especially if you have strong will kids, that's kind of our focus. Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being here today. I really just appreciate everything about you. I appreciate the stories and the practical advice that you've given today to our listeners.
Thanks for having
me.
You bet.
See you soon.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us today on the Messy Middle Podcast. We hope this episode has inspired, encouraged, and equipped you to navigate the challenges of building a profitable business while balancing the demands of your work life, your faith, and motherhood. We would love to hear from you. Connect with us on LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, or at our website, therippleeffect.net. To share your thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. You can also find us at anitaanello.com. Until then, be well and know that we are cheering you on.